Good morning.
Good morning.
Every time I listen to someone read my bio, it makes me embarrassed that otherwise. It makes me feel weird. It's like that seems so professional and unrelatable, which is the opposite of who I am. My favorite thing is to have deep, meaningful conversation and connect with women. Funny enough, I went to Cherrydale when I had a school. This was decades ago, so I went here at third and fourth grade. And I don't remember my teachers or much about it, but there was a tetherball parking lot. So I remember that. I pulled in today. It's like, well, that's not here, but I'm glad to be here. So I want to do an exercise before we get started and get into the thick of the presentation. And so, Ashley, if you wouldn't mind coming up. Actually, is it okay if we move this and just use this space for a second? Mm-hmm. So the title of today's talk is From Pain to Purpose. And the way that I describe purpose is a treasure. That each of us has a treasure buried deep within our heart that is waiting to be discovered. So I want to use a diamond as an example. So when you think of a diamond, you know, we look at this and we think, gosh, it's so pretty and perfect. But a diamond, it doesn't come this way. You know, there's a process that diamonds are found deep within the Earth's surface. And somebody has to extract the diamond. It goes to a professional jeweler. They cut and they polish it. So there's this very extensive process before it becomes this beautiful gem that we wear as jewelry. So like I said, I describe purpose as a treasure. And each one of us in here has a treasure in our heart. And no diamond is different. Each of us is different. We have a unique story and a unique purpose. And the way that I describe our purpose is that it comes from dark and painful places. And my theme verse for today is from Isaiah 45:3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches and secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by name, am the God of Israel. And the Message version of that verse says, I will lead you to buried treasures. So again, I define purpose as a treasure that comes from dark and painful places. What begins as a painful encounter eventually becomes a valuable treasure. So our purpose, it's not always apparent. It comes from darkness. It comes from painful places, places that we have pain, fear, and shame. But that is where our purpose is from. So I want to give some examples of painful places that a lot of my female clients have experienced, things that I've experienced myself. I'll get into my story a little bit and describe some of the painful places in the broken home that I came from. But if Ashley, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read off these painful places, this darkness that we all have experienced in times of our life when we have suffering. So each time I read a place of pain, if you could just cover this diamond with one of these Kleenexes.
Okay.
So again, we each have a purpose in us. We each have a treasure. So we all know this is a diamond, but a lot of times our treasure, it gets covered with dark and painful places. So the first one. You are extremely depressed and sad. Nobody knows how much you cry. You are anxious and stressed almost all the time. You have an eating disorder. You compulsively count calories, starve yourself, or binge eat. You have extremely low self-esteem. You had an abortion. You are divorced and still feel ashamed, especially at church. You don't know if you can make it through the day without collapsing. You cut yourself. You hate your body. You feel completely alone, even though you are married. You struggle with being addicted to pills, drugs, or alcohol and feel like God is mad at you. You've been raped, molested, or sexually assaulted. You had a miscarriage. You've never felt this alone. You lost your best friend, or you have no true friends or community at all. You have irrational thoughts or feels or fears of hurting your children. You dread waking up as much as you dread going to sleep. Your husband abuses you and you feel trapped. You feel pressure to do everything perfectly. You watch pornography. You have a broken heart.
Thank you.
So all of these painful places, all the darkness in our lives and the things that we struggle with can really dampen our treasure and our purpose. And then we want to hide and we become ashamed or afraid of our pain and of our story. And the reality is that the diamond is still a diamond. Your treasure is still a treasure no matter what you've experienced and what has happened to you in your past, your present, or your story. And what Jesus comes along and does, and he's the master jeweler, and he loves us so much that he comes along and he takes our pain and the things that we struggle with, and he just, with his grace and unconditional love, he just takes those things, all the pain in our life, you know, just one thing at a time, and in light of his power and his healing and his love for us, those things, he just takes them one by one and he starts to heal our heart. But he loves the process. He loves the healing journey. He loves to come alongside us and say, just let me touch these painful places in your life. And he enjoys the journey of going through each and every one of these things. And then in light of his love for us, like all these things just eventually fall away. And we're still left with our treasure and our purpose. And our purpose is, you know, it's really hard. You hear a lot of people say, you know, dream big, find your dream, discover your purpose. But it's really difficult to have a deep-seated joy of the soul and really live your purpose when you ignore the painful parts of your story or you feel ashamed and you don't want to share them with other people. So I want to share my story because I think it's important that, you know, we create a vulnerable space with each other, because we can look at one another and think, well, she probably has it all together. You know, she's perfect. She's living her purpose. And the more that we hold back our story because of shame and pain, then the more, you know, we believe that lie that we've all got it together. So I want to share a little bit about my story. I came from a broken home. So I'm not used to using these kind of mics to be over myself. I come from a broken home. My parents got divorced when I was in my early 20s. And the quote from Charles Dickens describes it best. I would really sum up my childhood by saying, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. I grew up here in McLean, and actually when I go for a run a few times a week, the neighborhood I grew up in is right across the street. So just for nostalgic purposes, you know, I'll go run and sit on a bench and look at the house I grew up in. I had so many positive, wonderful memories. I'm the oldest of four. My grandmother, who's my favorite person in the whole world, lived a few houses down. And so I had a lot of positive memories, but a close family member of mine had unpredictable rage. and would be violent and abusive to my siblings, and being the oldest, you know, I really felt like the protector and kind of took on this responsibility to make sure that they were safe. So when my home life became scary, you know, because there was always this undercurrent of fear, and you know, I've always been intuitive, but I used that gift to analyze this close family member to try to figure out, you know, what mood are they in? You know, are they going to try to hurt my brother or sister? Are they in a good mood? So I learned to use my intuition more as a survival to try to predict this hurtful behavior from happening. But as you know, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my sibling's fault. It's no one's fault. So I internalized that, and my grandma, who I call Gaga, was very much my safe place. So anytime my home became unsafe, I would go a few doors down to her house, we would do errands together, I would spend the night. It was just the most glorious parts of my childhood. And she passed away when I was 16 years old. Very suddenly, she got diagnosed with cancer and died 3 months later. And it was the greatest trauma of my life. It's like all of a sudden, my favorite person, the person who loved me unconditionally, you know, I felt this covering over me all the time, was just ripped away from me. So at that point, I was a sophomore in high school. And looking back, I can see this now through years of my own counseling and inner healing that I went through, that at that point where my safe place was gone and my covering was lifted, I felt very exposed. So I started to get into performance mode and perfectionistic tendencies, and had to be the best at school and the best at sports, and a lot of my worth and value and what I perceived as my purpose were in things outside of myself. So that proved to be very painful. And the other part of my story that's important is my parents were in and out of counseling for decades. Professional counseling, Christian counseling, counseling with pastors, counseling with mentors. And it was confusing for me, because the more that they went to counseling, or the more we went to church, I grew up going to church, the worse things seemed to get. So that became a painful place for me. Church became a painful place, a confusing place in a lot of ways. God became painful and confusing. Counseling and therapy became painful and confusing. So, you know, once I went through healing when my parents got divorced, I went through a personal journey where my purpose became birthed from these painful places. My parents found these great counselors to help them, and my mom said, I would love for you to go meet with them because they've been so helpful to me. I think they'd be really helpful for you. And I thought, nope, that's the last thing I want to do, is go to church, go to a place where Christians gather, and go to counseling. So I was just, my heart became very hardened. But it ended up absolutely changing my life. You know, I sat across from these two women, went in once, and was there once a week for 2 years. And the healing that took place was just phenomenal in terms of really seeing who Jesus was and having an intimate relationship with him. And the way that these women treated Jesus like he was someone in the room, I was like, I want that. I want that type of intimacy. I want that type of authenticity. And I want to help other people the way that these women helped me. So I decided, I switched majors, got my degree in psychology, went to grad school, did the whole thing to be able to do what I feel like God called me to do, my purpose, which was to sit across from other women in private practice, you know, on my sofa, just like I had experienced, and be able to, you know, set the captive free, heal the brokenhearted. And, you know, so my places of pain, my darkness, abuse, God, the church, counseling. You know, here I am now, a Christian counselor, and you know, my favorite place to be is in church and to be here and to be with you. So God was really faithful, but I had to go into those places of pain. I had to face those in order for my purpose to be birthed in that place and to say, you know, this is what I want to do with my life. So I want to define purpose, because there is a connection between pain and purpose. So I define purpose as a treasure buried deep within a person's heart, waiting to be discovered. It's your true self, your story, which includes your pain. So a few characteristics of purpose. Purpose is not a one-time thing. So purpose can change depending on the season. You know, Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. So our purpose can change depending on the season of life. It's not like, okay, I found my purpose and that's it, and that's what I'm going to do. Purpose is about focusing on what is right with you instead of what is wrong with you. So it's your treasure, it's not the darkness. Purpose is directly tied to your story, which includes your pain. Purpose is God's autograph on your heart's desires. Purpose entails your essence as a person, who you are, what you want, and what you're passionate about. Purpose is your irreplaceable role in the lives of others. Purpose contains the specific gifts, talents, and strengths that are unique to you. Purpose is not just about living your dream. It's a deep-seated joy of the soul that is bigger than you. It's not dependent on your circumstances. Now, sometimes when we hear that message, live your dream, we think, well, that has to be a career. Or maybe your dream is, I want my children to go to this school, or I want to be involved in this ministry. And it becomes more of a circumstantial thing. It could be like an identity or a status or something like that. But when it comes to your dream, that can be dangerous, because what if something happens? And then your identity, your worth and value is tied to those certain circumstantial things. But purpose, the way I see that, is the deep-seated joy of the soul. It might manifest in something that you enjoy, a ministry, a career, being a mom, those types of things. But, you know, it comes from a personal relationship with Christ. It's something that is much bigger than yourself. Purpose incorporates your calling is orchestrated by God that only you can fulfill. Purpose gives meaning to your suffering, and your trials become your testimony. So I want to focus next on the question of purpose and talk a little bit about the desires of our heart. One of my favorite scriptures is Mark 10:51. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's the most important question that I ask my clients, is, what do you want? What do you want Jesus to do to you, to do for you? What are your heart's deepest desires? And a lot of us, what I call, we have desire anxiety, or, you know, a fear of happiness, which I know sounds strange, but coming from a broken home or a painful relationship, or perhaps you've had a desire in your heart in the past and a promise was broken or it didn't happen. So a lot of us have this, you know, this foreboding spirit or mindset around, well, what if the other shoe drops? You know, this seems too good to be true. So if I desire this thing and I ask for what I really and truly want, what if it doesn't happen? So when I ask my clients, you know, what do you really want? The first thing that comes up is this anxiety of, I'm too afraid to speak that out loud, or I don't really know. So I help them understand, do you see how when I ask you what you want, or when you focus on Jesus's question, that this anxiety comes up? And, you know, a lot of us have this deep-seated vow where, you know, we believe, well, I don't really deserve to be happy. So I just want to encourage you to think about, because that's the question of purpose. Part of purpose is knowing your story, being able to talk about your places of pain rather than being ashamed by them, but also really paying attention to Jesus' question, what do you want me to do for you? Because the desires of our heart, they're deep yearnings. You know, it's like a whisper, something that always speaks to you. It's that thing that you want, that you're afraid is too good to be true. And a lot of times I tell my clients, if it seems too good to be true, that's how you know it's God. That's how you know you've tapped into something within your heart. So an exercise that I would encourage you to do at home is to meditate on that question in Mark, where Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? And in that scripture, the man told him, I can't remember exactly, but he wanted healing. I can't remember if it was because he was blind. There was some sort of healing he desired. You know, Jesus is all-knowing. He knew what that man wanted and was very prepared to heal him. But there's something about asking that question and having us tell him, this is what I want, and him to grant us our heart's desires. Because Psalm 37:4 says, I will give you the desires of your heart as you delight in me. So that's a very important question to ask. And, you know, have these beautiful journals that you've been gifted. So allow yourself to think about that question, what do I really want? And I believe that the hand writes what the mouth can't speak. So to be able to write down, and don't worry about whether or not it's possible. Don't worry about whether you can obtain it, and don't spiritualize it. Sometimes we think, well, other people are suffering more, or you know, I want this thing, but a lot of people don't have this. So don't spiritualize it, and don't minimize it and think, well, I should be grateful for what I have. Just stick with that question until you begin to get an answer, because that's the way that we stay in touch with our heart. That's the question of purpose, is what do you want? And just write it down. And what I do is I write it in the first person as if Jesus is speaking directly to me, because he's given us our Holy Spirit. So I write down, what would I want Jesus to say to me, almost as if it would seem too good to be true. And you'll be surprised about the treasure that's in your heart that's waiting to be discovered, and what will come out as you start to write, which is actually how I started my practice. It's a whole story for another time. But that's what came out of that specific season of my purpose, was starting to practice for myself. And it came out of that exercise of writing down, what is it that I really want? So back to the scripture in Isaiah of, I will give you treasures from darkness, riches hidden in secret places. So the Message version of that, as I said, is I'll lead you to buried treasure. So we're thinking about our painful places. We've talked about what purpose is. So this connection between pain and purpose, you know, the journey from pain to purpose, it really is like a treasure hunt. You know, I'll lead you to buried treasures, because we each have that unique purpose inside of us. But it's really important to identify your pain. And when you think of any treasure hunt, or you know, when your children are watching movies, like you know, there's usually some sort of villain and you know, a hero in the story. And finding our place of purpose, it's not just a simple, easy process. You know, it takes a lot of work to do the healing and to identify your pain and to talk to other people about it. As I really believe that we're only as sick as our secrets. And a lot of these things that I mentioned earlier, these painful places, they do reside in darkness because we feel ashamed, or we think we're the only one that has these struggles. But when you share it with someone else, someone that you trust, then the light of the truth hits it and it dispels the darkness, because the darkness festers. And when you bury that down inside you, you know, the enemy can keep lying to you about that. You know, or lies that you believe, maybe even as far back as childhood. Don't tell anyone about that. Well, what are they going to think? You know, that's something that you should keep in darkness, something that you shouldn't tell other people. But that's exactly where your purpose comes from. So when you give a voice to it, it loses power to control you. And then that healing takes place. And then you're able to discover your purpose actually comes from those exact painful places. My favorite quote, I use this a lot when I write and in counseling with my clients, is that your greatest places of pain are your greatest places of power. And your area of weakness is your area of gifting. There are so many women clients that I have sat with where, like, let's say, for example, someone struggles with an eating disorder. They obsessively count their calories. They have really low self-esteem. You know, they've had kids. They don't like how their body looks. And they say, gosh, Andrea, you know, in my teenage years, I always didn't understand my female friends that had an eating disorder. And now here I am, like, you know, counting five almonds or kale or whatever, and just feeling ashamed of that. But it's that exact place of pain, you know, is where our purpose is. So helping people understand, when you start to share with other people, and it can be a therapist, it can be a mentor, you know, it can be each other, just someone that you trust, and you start to share that story, you realize other people are struggling with that. And that place of pain becomes your greatest place of power. And that area of weakness is where you're gifted. That's your testimony. That's where God wants to use you to minister to other people, to expand his kingdom. And then that becomes a very powerful place of purpose. You know, if I didn't go through the healing that I needed to go to and take that step to talk to people, then, you know, the church and God and counseling, all of those things would have continued to be painful places in my life. But when I faced those places, when I invited other people in, because we really don't know ourselves by ourselves. So when we invite someone into those places and we start to heal, you know, I would never be standing here today if it weren't for that decision, if it weren't for doing the hard work of going into those painful places and then realizing this is what lights me up, this is what makes me come alive. But it's not easy. I mean, it's a long process to get there. And it's not like, oh, okay, I want to be a counselor now. Let me go to grad school and do all these things. You know, my parents got divorced. You know, I had just other issues and relationships in life that didn't work out. And there was a lot of times that just my own, you know, lies I would tell myself, or the lies of the enemy would say, you know, you're not qualified for that, or let me remind you of this, or just life, you know, and other people trying to thwart your way. And so there's things that happen in that journey where you can be tempted to say, I don't think God has called me to that. Like, let me go back to all these places of pain, you know. And so I had that, and then I had my purpose, but then it's like, okay, I started my practice, and then I pain here, and then this relationship didn't work out, and so I had all these, like, different piles of pain. But when I would press into that, it's like, oh, okay, now I can speak to, you know, people who date someone, and they're dating the potential of who they are, who they want them to be, instead of who they really are. Now, I have, you know, women come to me all the time who are single, like, I just can't meet anyone, especially in the church, and, you know, helping them realize, based on my own story. And I can't tell you how many clients I had who have come from broken homes, or, you know, they're in a relationship that's abusive, and they're thinking about divorce, and, you know, they've been told, well, God hates divorce, divorce is a sin, but they're in an emotionally abusive relationship, you know, and they feel crazy. And they say to me, gosh, Andrea, I wish you would just hit me, because then I could point to something and say, here's my pain, like, now can I leave? Like, is that okay with the church? Is that okay with people? So, you know, these different places of pain in my family's life have now become this place of power and gifting, and the Lord will bring those people into your life. He will absolutely bring those people, because there is an anointing on you when you struggle with something. It's like, that's the person you want to pray for you. Like, the person who's been delivered from dealing with pornography or an eating disorder or identified emotional abuse and got out of that relationship and all the courage it took, that's the person you want to go to and say, can you pray for me? This has become a place of power for you. And the Lord, like I said, he will absolutely bring those people when you start to be authentic and share in a safe and trusting way. The people will come, and that's your purpose. You don't have to be in ministry. You don't have to have an official title of ministry to have a place of purpose. The Lord will bring those people, and then it just reinforces that you don't have to be ashamed of that anymore. So it expands the kingdom, but it also deepens your relationship, your intimacy with God, your intimacy with other people. So your greatest place of pain is your greatest place of power, and your area of weakness is your area of gifting. So I want to take a minute and share and identify places of pain, specifically when it comes to motherhood, because that's a shared purpose today. You know, each and every one of you is a mother, could be different stages in life. But I want to share places of pain that I have heard my clients say who are mothers that might help you give a voice and normalize and take some of the shame away if you feel any of these things. Having anxiety. Feeling completely and utterly overwhelmed. Thinking to yourself, am I crazy? Is this normal? Anger, irritability, and lack of patience. Sadness, depression, just an overall gloomy mood. Obsessive thoughts about your child's health or your own. Mom guilt over everything. Feeling like a bad mom and comparing yourself to others. Feeling resentful and having fantasies about being alone, numbing out, and wishing that you didn't have children. Fear of never feeling like yourself again. Feeling alone and missing your old life before children. Experiencing anger towards your children or fearing you might hurt them with your anger. Having doubts, wondering if you shouldn't have had children to begin with. Feeling tired all the time and having no energy for simple things. Waking up dreading the day. Persistent fear that something bad might happen to your child. Grief about your body changes and low self-esteem because you don't feel pretty or attractive anymore. Or if you have older children, having that empty nest syndrome, you think, well, who am I now? You don't know how to relate to your spouse anymore. This overall feeling of being behind in life. And there could also be pain related to your spouse and motherhood as well. For example, feeling like you're roommates because the romance is gone, because all you're talking about is the chores and the homework and school and everything related to your children, that romance is just gone. Or if you're newly divorced or a single mom dealing with co-parenting issues, or feeling trapped in an abusive relationship, or dealing with a spouse that cheated on you. And in motherhood, there can also be family-related pain, you know, difficult relationship with your in-laws, or difficulty setting boundaries, and you know, with your parents. I have so many clients who have, you know, a mother or father with narcissistic tendencies or mental health issues, and then having to balance, now that I have children, you know, how do I reconcile this broken relationship, but also wanting them to know their grandson or granddaughter. So all these places of pain are extremely normal. You know, I just want to validate. I've heard hundreds of women in the last 15 years that I've been doing this experience these things. So when you're open and honest and you share with one another any one of those things or any one of some of the darker painful places I shared in the beginning, it really does open the door for your purpose to show up and to have a time to connect with other people in a very genuine, authentic way. So I want to share a little bit about, how are we doing on time?
I was about to say, we should wrap up for discussion questions.
Okay, yes. So the last thing I want to share is Proverbs 25. Purpose in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Or a person of understanding, another version says, will draw that out. So each one of you in this room is that person, that you're able to draw out the treasure in other people by sharing your painful places. And yeah, my purpose, it can change depending on the season. Yeah, I was an AM a counselor, and then I wrote a book, so then I became an author, and then I started speaking, so I became a speaker, and I started mentoring, and then I became a supervisor. So my purpose is manifested in different seasons of my life, but my true purpose and my treasure is being that person of understanding who draws the purpose in other people, who brings out the treasure. It's like I said before, the message version of that verse in Isaiah, I'll lead you to buried treasure. And nothing brings me more joy than to sit across from another woman in her places of pain and be that person to draw out that treasure, you know, that deep water. So no matter what my title is or the thing that I'm doing, it always comes back to that purpose for me. So as we close and go into a time of question and answer, I just want to encourage you that each one of you has a treasure. And you know, no diamond is different, and it's unique, and you are that person of understanding in your world, in your home, in your community. I just want to encourage you as you press into those painful places, then the Lord will bring you other people that need your voice and your help, because you might be the only Jesus that some people ever see.
Thank you. Andrea, thank you so much. That was so rich. And I just, I wish we had more time to sit and talk and all that kind of stuff. So we have about 5 minutes before we have to go pick up the kids. We have some questions that Andrea suggested. So I would just say tackle one of the questions at your table, and then we'll get the kids. I'll give you an alert in about 5 minutes.
I tried to help with your vision.